Father, we just come and rest in this place. To worship is to bow down, to choose you, to give you of our all, because you gave of your all to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we invite you now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, would you come and help us to see you. Reveal to us more of who you are this morning. Reveal to us more of your heart, more of your love, more of your presence, more of your power. Reveal to us more of your name this morning. For we declare that yours is the name above all names. There's no other name under heaven or earth that can compete with you. So we give you all the glory this morning, all the honor, all the power, and all the praise is yours. So we simply come, humbled, bow down at your feet. Where else can we go but to you, Lord? Where else can we go but to you? So, Lord, as we draw near to you this morning, as we choose you, would you draw near to us? Come, come. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come and be present in this place as we open your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I could have John just keep playing for the next 25 minutes and 2 seconds, according to my timer. Whew. So I'm going to need my props table this morning. If the sound goes funny, do I just stand there and wait for it to be corrected, or do I just need to stand more still? More still. Sorry, Callum. So this morning's message, you've probably seen, is titled Name Above All Names. And I actually want to start by reading some scripture, and then I'll hopefully explain myself after that. But if you go with nothing else, do you know what? Jesus is the name above all names. It's simply that. It's been great to worship into that this morning, but his name is higher and bigger and better than any other name we could either imagine or declare. But let me start with a little bit of scripture. So I'm going to be reading from Luke 3, verses 23 to 38. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, and I'm going to mispronounce probably 70% of the names that I'm going to share. So Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as he was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Matthias, the son of Shemain, the son of Josek, the son of Yoda, the son of Joanan, the son of Rasa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadabon, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joelim, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Menah, the son of Mattiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peeg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Cain, son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Last time I preached, I skipped a few names and felt for it. But this is the word of the Lord. It is in scripture for the reason. We may need to work out what that reason was. But this morning, I wanted to start with a genealogy. But I also want to stay on track. So I've got some prompts this morning. It's kind of like my notes, if I may call them that. So I've got an unopened box of chocolates. I've got a game of Guess Who. Who doesn't like a Christmas game? Oh, my days. and I've got a gift, an unopened gift. And hopefully by the end of this morning, right to left or left to right? Right to left for me. So hopefully by the end of this morning, this will all make sense. But don't you love a genealogy? Don't you get up in the morning and want to read a genealogy? There's lots in scriptures. Is that not your thing? Okay, maybe not. Well, let's just start with something else then. So I have an unopened box of chocolates. In my house, I'd love to say that Quality Streets are the best chocolates, but apparently they're not. Heroes is apparently the best of the Christmas clubs. So I'm going to have a start with a quick show of hands. Wasn't in my notes, but we're going with it anyway. You've got Roses, you've got Quality Streets, you've got Heroes, and you've got Celebrations. Give me a show of hands if you could have any one tub this year at Christmas. Would it be Heroes? Okay. I call that the Passion Translation in my house, by the way. They're not the originals, okay? Let's go for Celebrations. Okay, reasonably good. Roses. Okay, we're getting a little bit. We're not quite King James yet, in my view. What about Quality Street? Yeah. Okay. And it looks like a number of you don't like. Who doesn't like a caramel barrel or a toffee penny? Green, exactly. The purple one. Come on. God. Well, did you know, this will land, I promise, he says in the Lord. So in my box of celebrations, did you know that obviously there's different types of chocolates? So can anyone name any of the chocolates in my box of chocolates? Oh, Bounty. Who said Bounty? There's got to be a health and safety issue here. Okay, what's next?
Galaxy!
Sammy? Oh, I think I just hit my wife. Okay, that's on recording. It was with chocolate, just in case anyone is listening back and can't see. Okay, what else have we got? Oh, well, I heard Snickers. What else did someone say?
Mars.
Oh, is there Mars? Yeah, Mars. There we go. Anything else?
Maltesers.
Yes, good shout, Lloyd. Lovely. Oh, almost. Any more?
Galaxy.
We said Galaxy. I think we said Twix, but I'll throw it out anyway. Has anyone said Milky Way yet? There we go. Cool. So, whenever I have a tub of chocolates, I obviously ask for my Bounty or my Twix, because the Bounties are the best things in this tub. But of course, the name is known as Celebrations. And my starting point this morning is, what's in a name? What is in a name? In fact, well done for remembering the chocolates, that's fun. There's 7 different brands, by the way. But I want to say, what's in a name? See, in biblical times, names gave meaning. They had a legacy. Names had a purpose. Names had a calling. So just as when you ask for the Bounty and you get the one with coconut in, or you ask for the Maltesers and you get the light one, which apparently ballerinas like, if I remember my adverts correctly, when you say a name, it means something. But the collective noun of all these sweets is a celebration. Just hold that thought. Because what I'm going to lead us to is the collective name of Jesus, i.e. Jesus, we'll come to what it means. His name means more than simply that word, Jesus. There's so much more in the name of Jesus than simply what it says on the tin. So let's see if we can go somewhere. Who loves a Christmas game? I'm not a great Christmas game person. My family will give testimony to this. I don't know if I'm a bad winner or a bad loser. Probably a bit of both. But in my house, games were banned for a number of years, mainly because Monopoly boards were flown across the room, and the game of Risk was almost marriage-ending, or at least engagement-ending in my household. But I thought we'd start with a Christmas game. So let's get back to our genealogy. So, first slide, please, Barry. Let's play a little bit of a game. Next slide. So, in Hebrew, his name means name. Oh, he's gone to the answer. There we go. His name. I'll give you a Paul, just for being Paul. There we go. So, his name means renown. He entered the ark with the animals. He was the favoured son of Noah, which is Shem. Let's go to the next one. His name derives from the word to praise. There we go. It didn't need to go too far. Oh, I've gone too long. I went too long. Sorry, Joy. He was one of the 12 sons, and he and Tamar gave birth to Perez. I love the name Perez. It's not in here, but I can't help but say the God of Perez, the God of the breakthrough, the God of the breakout. Hold that thought for later. Okay, so next one. In Hebrew, his name is related to the word for peace. Big clue, he lived in Bethlehem. He married Rahab. Close. He was a great-great-grandfather to King David. Oh, close. Boaz's dad, I think. Yes, salmon. Salmon. I can never say it right. I'm going in for chocolates. Don't know where it came from. Great. Salmon. Is there a risk assessment, Barry, I need to do for throwing out sweets? Good. Don't answer that, just in case. So, salmon. Really interesting is, of course, salmon married Rahab, or it's if you go to actually the genealogy in Matthew, and of then his child Boaz married into someone else, Ruth, who's really prominent. So, really interesting little microcosm of a family there. So, next one, question four. In his name is he gave, or gift of God. He was the son of David and Bathsheba, who's another woman who gets mentioning in the genealogy of Matthew. He was a brother of King Solomon. Louise. Yes! Yes, Nathan, if people didn't hear that. So Nathan, really interesting. We'll come back to that later, about Solomon and Nathan. Last few. In his name in Hebrew, it means God helps, or the help of God. Apparently, it's a popular name in the Old Testament. It could be as many as 3 to 8 people named this. Bit of a clue, Abraham's servant or Moses and Zipporah's, I think, second son, but I'm not sure which one. And the clue there is God helps. So you've got the beginning. God is, in Hebrew, El. And what the God of helps is Eliezer. I'll eat the chocolate. I'll save it for later. Right, I get the answer then. Although I do have the answers on the page, so it's easy for me. In Hebrew, his name means my lamp or bright, and it's from the verb to flow or to shine. Actually, it's only mentioned in Luke's genealogy, so a bit unfair on this one. But the answer was Neri or Neri. My Hebrew's terrible, but Neri. And lastly, in Hebrew, his name means my king or my counsel. Also only mentioned in Luke. You might be able to work that one if you know anything about the Hebrew for king. This is worth 2 chocolates. No, think of Jesus is in the order of, yes, and therefore king is Melky, which is Melky. I'll give you 2 anyway. I think I helped a bit there, but it's good. So why am I giving you all these names? Well, here's the thing. If we go into the next slide, these are just 7 of the names in Jesus' genealogy. It means to the name or renown. It means to praise. It means peace. He gave, or the gift of God, the help of God, my lamp or bright or my king or my counsel. And just a brief pause on genealogies. There, you may not be interested in, but there's so much life in them, so much reference back to the Old Testament, but also so much, as Jamie spoke so well on the foreshadowings, so much of what Jesus did was fulfilling things from the Old Testament and from God's journey with his people. See, the 2 New Testament genealogies you have are in Matthew chapter 1 or in Luke chapter 3. And Matthew's really simple. He has 42 generations, and I should have chosen that one because there'd have been less names to share. But I didn't want to, and I'll explain why in a minute. You see, Matthew only goes 42 generations. He goes 14 generations from Abraham to King David. He then has 14 generations from King David to going into exile in Babylon. And then you have another 14 names going from exile in Babylon to Jesus. So 42 names, 3 lots of 14. There's some really interesting number stuff we're going to come back to. Matthew also introduces 4 prominent women. Am I talking really fast? Yes, do I slow down a touch? Okay, extra 6 minutes on my timer may be necessary. But yeah, so Matthew also introduced 4 prominent women. So we've got Rahab, we've got Ruth, we've got Bathsheba, and we've got Tamar. Matthew, who's all about the outsiders, about other people coming into God's story, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, introduces in his narrative much more content, which is interesting. And what's also noticeable for Matthew is he's potentially following, they believe, they're not, no proof of this, Joseph's line, and it traces from King Solomon. Although there's a broken issue there for Jeconiah, for those that want a little nugget, have a look up at Jeconiah and why, if it was Joseph's line, Jesus couldn't be born in the natural flesh because it says that a king couldn't be coming from Jeconiah. So interesting little nugget for you, secret or whatever, little something for you to study about later. Luke, on the other hand, Luke has 77 names in his genealogies. This is probably why they don't speak on genealogies much, by the way, because it's possibly not as interesting for you as it is for me. But I love it. You see, what Luke has done is he's taken the Old Testament genealogies. So he's gone back to Genesis chapters 5 and chapters 11, to Chronicles chapters 1 to 3, and to Ruth chapter 3. And it's suggested that Luke is following the maternal line, Mary's line. And it's also really interesting that Luke traces from King David through Nathan, so skips out the Jeconiah step. Now, Luke, in his 77 generations, has 21 generations from Adam to Abraham. He then has 14 generations for the monarchy, so from from Isaac to David. He then has 21 generations, maybe coincidence, who knows, maybe he did it on purpose, for the monarchy. So there's 21 monarchs from Nathan all the way to Salathiel. Then there's a post-monarchy, 21 generations from Zerubbabel to Jesus, 77 in all. Now, maybe that's just a coincidence. Maybe there is nothing to speak into that. But I find it interesting that Luke's done two things. He's one, taken the Old Testament. Two, he's added names. He added three names. Because what Luke's done, if we go on to the next slide, please, is Luke has ordered the generations. And every seventh generation, something significant or someone significant comes. It seems to be that in the generations of seven, which means perfect, it comes from 7 days in the week, God perfected things, God introduced different names. So we see Enoch, whose name means dedicated. Genesis 5 mentions how he walked with God and then he was not, for God had taken him up to be with him. We know very little about the next name, Shelah. He's one of the list of 70 nations in Genesis, but his name means be still, rest. We next have Abraham. We know lots about Abraham, the father of many or the father of multitudes. He was called by God to leave his land and to go to a promised land. And he was known for his faith and entered into covenant with God. We then see admin. This is a really weird one. This is one that Luke seems to add. Don't know much about him. Sometimes it's called Ram or Arne. It's got an Egyptian throwback. But his name means high or exalted. Next, we have King David. Obviously, we know a lot about King David. His name means beloved or beloved, depending on whether you're New King James or Old King James. And he was a shepherd, a warrior, and he was known to be a man after God's heart. Next, we've got Joseph, which is Joseph, he shall add. We've got Joshua or Yehoshua, which is Yahweh is salvation. We've got Shealtiel, which is I have asked of God or I asked of God. Matthias, I can never quite say that right, is gift of Yahweh. Joseph comes up again in terms of he shall add. And then we get to the 77th generation. So these names are every seven generations, God brings something significant in. And we get to Jesus or Yeshua, which simply means savior. Now, again, it might be coincidence that Luke has created the genealogy like this, but maybe it's telling us something about Jesus. It tells us something about the names that came before him and the man and the person and the fulfillment of all that Jesus was going to be. Now, those other 70 names are great, but it's the one in Jesus that really counts for us today. And I don't know, again, why Luke's done it like he has. I can't speak into it. What I do know is this, that in all the names, they point towards the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would be prophet and priest and king. If you look in the genealogy, you see Jesus can fulfill all of those things. And there were examples that went before him. But Jesus was the perfect prophet. He was the perfect king. And he was and is the perfect priest. It also, we know in the genealogy that the Messiah we were looking for, he would come from Shem and from Abraham and from the tribe of Judah. And he would be on the line of David. So it confirms all of that. And I might be the only person in the room who loves this, but there's something in family. There's something in God's desire to come and be human, to come and be part of that sense of family, that sense of genealogy, the sense of past, present, and future that I think that the genealogies teach us to hear. Now, let me just sidestep a slight bit. I'm merely onto the gift. Don't worry, we're drawing towards something. See, scriptures also say other bits. So it would say that he would be born in Bethlehem. So he had to be of a generation both of David and of Salmon. He would be born of a virgin. He would be our Emmanuel, our God with us. Classic Christmas verse this time of year, Isaiah 9. It says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And here's where the name thing really stands out for me. All those other names, as good as they are, as amazing, as high, as exalted, as beloved, of gift of Yahweh, all those names of peace and praise, however good they are, Scripture tells us that Jesus is above those names, that his name is higher and better than any other name that's come before. You see, the person we see in Luke's genealogy is our Saviour. He is a perfect gift from God. It says elsewhere in Ephesians that by grace you've been saved through faith, for this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. And the genealogies point to the coming of the Saviour, but this morning I want us just to focus in on the gift. Ooh. The gift. When we declare Jesus' name, what are we saying? Are we just saying a name, Jesus? Sounds great. Are we saying Yeshua, Saviour? Well, I want to suggest this morning, kind of like my celebrations tub, when I'm saying celebrations, I could have one of seven chocolates, technically eight, but I've joined the galaxy together as one because Luke could make his sevens up, so I can make my sevens up. So celebrations. When I say the name of Jesus, I think I get more than simply salvation. And that's great, by the way. If all we need in Jesus is salvation, that is good. But this morning, the real message I want to speak into in these last 5-10 minutes is into the gift that we have in Jesus Christ is more than simply salvation. In fact, the picture I have, and I'm going to unwrap it in a minute, is I sense within the box there were seven gifts. And those gifts have names on them. And I want to speak those names over us in a minute as a church. But before I do, let me just speak the names that Jesus spoke over himself. And then hopefully you'll see where we're going. Can we go to the seven John I Am statements? I'm not allowed to say you're with me, but are you still with me? Do I need to throw a few more chocolates out just to get the charismatic hands? No? It's good. You see, Jesus, when he talked about his name, Jesus talked about the statements that I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And you might think, well, what has that got to do with the name of Jesus? Well, this is Jesus, one, saying, I am. He's already associating himself with God. But in every single one of those names, whether it's bread of life, light of the world, door of the sheep, he is proclaiming a title, a name, a ministry that the Messiah would have. And if we had time today, I would delve a little bit deeper and explain what makes them so important. But right now, what I want to say is, in Jesus, he himself declared why his name was so important, why his name was above every other name. But can we jump to Philippians 2? Because I think it sums it up better than I can. It says, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. For he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Similarly, we see in Ephesians 1, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named. This is what we see and who we see in Jesus' genealogy. That it's not just a name, Jesus, it's a person, it's a ministry, it's a title. And yet so often I think what we do is we look at Jesus and we just see salvation. And that's not to sound negative, I'm not meaning to, but I'm saying there's much more for us this morning than simply salvation in Christ, as good as that might be. And if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I do want to speak into that. But first of all, I just want to go back and say, I sense that for some of us, there is an unopened gift available to us this morning. And if I can try and get it out. I can't. I feel for some that unopened gift may be praise, that you feel unable to praise. You either feel in the battle or you're unable to come to a place. I want to say that Jesus, who is of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Judah meaning to praise, he is your Saviour. His name is above every name, and praise is available for you this morning. I might ask for the worship team to come back in a minute and for John to do his magical keys thing. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. Don't know why I'm showing, because you can't read that. It's black pen on silver, so you can't see it. Jesus is the light of the world. It says in Scripture again that it wasn't enough for the Messiah to come for Israel alone, but that he would be a light unto the Gentiles. Jesus, who is the light of the world, has come. Again, salvation is good, but this morning, if you feel like you're caught in a place of darkness or dreariness or gloominess, I want to speak the light of Jesus Christ over you this morning. His name is above every name. Next, it might be peace. Do you know, I don't know where you are. I think there's that sense of be still and rest name. There's that sense of what's to come at Christmas, which I'll speak into in a minute. But Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. His name is above every other name. If you feel this morning you're lacking peace, I invite you to come to Jesus, to declare his name, and to receive the peace that comes from him. The next name I have is, not that one, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. We read it in the Isaiah passage. He is our counselor. He is the best counsel. If you're uncertain or unsure or you're questioning direction, I want to say this morning, Jesus' name is above all names, but he is more than simply your savior. He is your wonderful counselor. This morning, if you're feeling, if not alone, if you're unsure, I want to say that Jesus is your Emmanuel. He is your God with us. He is here and present, fully God, fully human. He is with you. And if you're struggling or caught in that sense of loneliness or despair, Emmanuel, God with us, is here for you in his name. I don't know how you feel about Christmas. I think it's a great thing. But it does throw families together. And I have my daughters and son-in-law home. And it's very exciting this year. But sometimes it can bring challenge. And one of the names that Jesus brings is forgiveness. And again, I want to speak over you. The name of Jesus this morning is more than simply Savior. He is the one who forgives. And that cuts both ways. I sense this morning to speak over the name of Jesus that says, you have been forgiven. Salvation is yours. But more than that, that you can forgive others. That you can forgive those who have hurt or offended you. And often when we get together with families, those things of the past come up. I want to speak over you this morning, the name of Jesus. Forgiveness over you. And lastly, I have a pen and a blank box, and I was hoping God would give me another name. I don't know what it is, but I do know that the name above all names, Jesus Christ, is all that you need. But I want to encourage this church not simply to leave the box unopened, not simply to take salvation alone. But this morning, I really feel, church, that God wants us to open up more that we have. The more that we have in him, his name is above every other name. And this morning, I don't know where your family's at. I know for me, my immediate family are all saved, but my brothers are not. My parents are not. My uncles and aunts and cousins, I don't believe, know the Lord, and he knows their hearts. But again, the greatest gift will always be salvation. So this Christmas, I want to pray salvation over you this morning as well. Salvation for your children and for your families and for your loved ones. Surely at Christmas, that's better than the tubs of chocolates and the games we have. The fact that we can rejoice in the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. So I am going to pray. I have no idea how we're doing for time. And I hope you understand the way my mind perhaps walks this. But in the midst of all the celebrations this Christmas, in the midst of all the family times, the games, in the midst of all the giving and receiving of gifts, I want to speak the name of Jesus over you. I want to speak praise over you. I want to speak light over you. I want to speak peace over you. Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, that you will be forgiven and forgive. There's a whole thing about 77s in there. But can I invite you to stand, and then I'll go in my concluding moment. There's something amazing in the number 7. It's a sense of perfection, a sense of completeness. And I'm not there yet. I'm certainly not. But my Yeshua, my Jesus, my Savior is complete and perfect. And he came as a baby, born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, pure, spotless life, giving of himself to do what the Father told him to do. And then he died for me. He died that I, like him, could have resurrection life and life in him. But I want to encourage you this Christmas to open the box for all that Jesus has, not simply salvation, but everything that Christ has for you is there and available. So Holy Spirit, would you stir in our hearts and our spirits this morning? Would we not simply hear our word, but would we hear your word? And Lord, whether there is darkness or distress or loneliness or gloominess or fear or worry or doubt, Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over every single one of those things. I speak the freedom that comes in Christ Jesus. I speak the Spirit of God that comes through Christ Jesus, that over every situation and circumstance, you would be ascending, that your name would be the name above all names. And Lord, I end on speaking that word of salvation. Salvation over those that have yet to know Jesus Christ, who have yet to bow the knee and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. I speak salvation. Yeshua Jesus over our families and loved ones, over our friends, over our neighbors. Would that gift of life be opened up this Christmas? So, Lord, stir in our hearts and our spirits. Give us the boldness and the courage to open those gifts that you give. And to speak them over every situation and circumstance, we pray. In Jesus' name.